Tonight is a night to recap and to respond. Since so many of you here tonight have not been with us over the last few weeks, on Sunday mornings, I want to recap for you what we've been talking about that has led us up to this moment. And for those of you who have been with us on Sunday mornings, you know, a little recap never hurt anybody, right? John 3:16 is perhaps the most important Bible verse in the entire book. And it starts with these two words, for God. The Bible tells us about God, for God. Haven't you wondered about God? When you've watched the sunrise in the morning, when you've contemplated the fact that there's a big nightlight in the sky for us every night called the moon, when you've thought about the diversity and complexity of life around you, be it plant or animal, when you've looked into a child's face, haven't you wondered if there is a God out there who's behind all of this? Well, if so, is there any chance that that God has interacted with humanity in an unusual way in which he has made himself known? Isn't it possible that this has happened in the past and that perhaps those interactions between Creator and creation might have been written down for us to learn from? In the Bible, you have a collection of documents that make claims to such experiences. Of most significance, you have the witness of people who walked and talked with a man named Jesus, who all came to the startling conclusion that he was the very Son of God. Jesus, a historical figure, not an imaginary one, a real human being, the greatest moral teacher of all time, who took God's name, I Am, and applied it to himself. Each of us has a decision to make. Was he lunatic? Was he a liar? Or was he Lord? I proclaim to you tonight that Jesus was and is Lord, Son of God Most High. And when you've made that decision about him, then the Bible becomes much more than a collection of human writings, doesn't it? Then you realize that the Bible is the tool God has used to reveal himself to those of us who were not eyewitnesses of those past events. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible tells us about God. The next two words of this crucial verse in the Bible, John 3:16, tell us something terribly important about who this Creator of the sunrise, the moon, plants and animals, children, who this Creator is. The verse says, for God so loved. Lamentations 3, the love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Ephesians 3, I pray that you may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And 1 John 4:8, God is love. What does the amazing communication from God to humanity called the Bible tell us about this Creator? It tells us that he loves you, he loves me, he is love. Well, maybe he loves you, but he couldn't love me. Hey, let's look at the next two words in that verse. For God so loved who? For God so loved the world. Do you live in the world? God loves every nation, every tribe, all people. He loves me. He loves that guy over there. He loves the gal in the back. And oh yeah, he loves you. God loves the world. John 3:16 then takes a turn that moves us into our Christmas focus. For God so loved the world, what? That he gave his one and only Son. He gave his one and only Son. You know, it's pretty hard to understand the relational dynamics between God and Jesus, but it's evident from Scripture that in some respects at least, this is a father-son relationship. And we need to remember the purpose of Jesus being born. It was not just to teach and to heal. It was primarily to be killed. God sent his Son into the world to be sacrificed. This was a costly gift. the gift of Jesus to us. We're talking about real pain, physical and emotional, suffered by Jesus. And one can only imagine the pain of a father standing by as his one and only son is hung on a cross. What was the point of all of that? You know the answer to this. We were the ones who were supposed to die because of our sin. We were born into a cursed and sinful world, says the Bible, and we cursed it even more by our own sin. There was no way we could get ourselves off of that path to eternal separation from the life giver, something the Bible calls hell. That was our destiny until God stepped in through his Son, Jesus Christ, who took the punishment that we deserved so that we could live. The final words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Forgiveness for sin is now possible. He did it for us. All we have to do is believe, to repent, and his gift for us then is everlasting life, a life that starts here and then continues on into heaven with God, where all will be made right. Okay, there's your recap. Now it's time to respond. How do we respond to the incredible gift given to us at the first Christmas, the gift of God's Son? I'm going to give you three ways that you can respond tonight, and all three involve getting out of your chairs and coming down front. So we're maybe going to get out of our comfort zone a little bit tonight. But maybe it's worth getting out of our comfort zone for this. First way you can respond: God gave his one and only Son so that we might have life. In honor of that supreme act of giving, we should be givers back to God, to others, and not just at Christmas time, but all throughout the year. So I want to give you an opportunity to give tonight. As I mentioned on Sunday, I'm not looking at this as a big dollar thing. There's plenty of things to give to at this holiday season, I know. I'm thinking more along the lines of a buck or two. There's no pressure to give, by the way. World Vision has a category of giving opportunity where if you give to a medical supply fund of theirs, and again, this is how I'm understanding their website, it looks to me like these gifts are matched 8 times by matching donors that they have. The money is used to purchase medical supplies for people around the world who need them and can't afford them. So whether or not those funds are matched, this is a worthwhile gift. And World Vision, of course, does this in the name of Jesus. So here is an opportunity to give tonight, a response to God's gift to you, a way to share Jesus' love with the world. If you're led to give a couple dollars to this, I'll invite you in a moment to come down front. Some of our deacons will be up here holding plates, and you can give in that way. And if you're writing a check, make it out to Calvary Baptist, and in the memo line, put World Vision Christmas gift. No pressure to give, but that's one way that you can respond tonight. Second way is this. My wife Anna suggested on Sunday, when we were talking about these things from up front here, that being thankful to God is a very appropriate way to respond to him regarding Christmas. So here's a second possibility for you. Coming down up front, we're going to have a little time for this. Coming down front and just kneeling, or if you're not a kneeler, we have the front row of chairs available. And just simply spending a moment in prayer to the Lord, a physical demonstration of your thankfulness to the Lord for what he has done for you. I would encourage many of you to do that. I know it takes a little effort, but let's make this part of our effort this year to honor the true reason for why we celebrate Christmas. That's a second option for you. Third and final way to respond tonight, you know, the most important and most appropriate way of responding to the gift that God gave to the world through his Son is by accepting the gift of forgiveness and grace that Jesus has secured for you on the cross. If you have not taken that step in your past, declaring Jesus as Lord and turning to Him in faith, then what better night to do that on Christmas Eve? What a great response that would be. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Is tonight your night? So when I call everyone to start coming in these various responses, coming down front, you come as well. The deacons that will be up here, and I will be up here, will be available to you to help with that prayer if you would like. So come down and maybe raise your hand to one of us. We'd be so happy to do that with you. So if that's you, if tonight is your night, at the time of response, come down front. Come, let Him change your life. Come get right with God. That would be a Christmas to remember. Now, if you're not comfortable coming down for any of these three options, it's okay. I don't want you to feel awkward. You have my blessing to stay where you are at. But I wanted to give some options to respond to this incredible gift we've been given. I'm going to play a video for you now that we saw on Sunday morning that fits these things that we've been talking about. When that video begins, you can start coming. And when the video is done, Krishana will play a little bit on the piano. This is not going to be a long time of response, 8-9 minutes. But she'll play after that video, and so we'll move into that time. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the celebration of Christmas, the greatest gift any of us will ever receive. Let's play that video now, and I welcome you down front.
Starlight shines, the night is still, shepherds watching from a hill. I close my eyes and see the night when love is born. A perfect child gently waves, a mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Changed forever.